Hi, I'm Matt Jaded, and this is the Those Who Can Teach and Do podcast series, hosted at opensource.com. In this series, we'll be having conversations with people who are working hard to bridge the worlds of education and open source, often playing the role of learner as they go. This interview was recorded at the 21st meeting of the Special Interest Group in Computer Science Education, which took place in early March 2011 in Dallas, Texas. In this interview, I talk with Peter DePasquale about his work at the College of New Jersey on the Compdoor project.
All right. So my name is Matt Jaded. I'm here at SIGC 2011. We are on the exhibitor floor in between excitement, the conference, and I'm here with Peter DePasquale. He's at the College of New Jersey, and he's been working on a pretty interesting project called Comptor, and I was wondering if you would be willing to tell us a bit more about that project.
Sure. The idea behind Comptor is to provide feedback to students in the commenting process of their source code, or the comments of their source code, and also to provide to instructors some measure of gradability support for comments. There are a number of tools out there in the pedagogical space for testing programs, grading programs automatically, and so forth. But if you're passionate about teaching commenting and good commenting practices to your students, and most of us say these things are very important and we do them and we want the students to adopt that notion, it's a very tedious process for the instructor to actually do grading, because it's still an eyeball check. Did they comment methods and the parameters, and what are they saying is, you know, are what they're saying, is that correct? Mm-hmm. As an instructor, I've seen, and many instructors have seen, a wide range of comments, some inappropriate, mm-hmm. some unprofessional, mm-hmm. Some personal, you know, and we can do better with tools that are out there, and we can start to tackle this problem. So our project aims to provide that to the students and the faculty and bring the discussion to how can we better support these problems in the pedagogical space.
So I'm familiar, and I'm familiar with things like JUnit. I think we were talking WebCat as an example of a framework for automatic grading of
things. Correct.
And it's very much based around, I think, the idea of unit tests for driving that graded process.
Right.
Comments are hard to deal with, aren't they?
They're natural language. So we very quickly move into an AI type of problem with natural language. And yeah, they are.
I hadn't even thought that far. I mean, comments are
we hope it's natural language.
It's natural language. It's natural language. There are people in who work with natural language generation, but let's not worry about that. I'm thinking about things like, you know, Java doc is a language embedded within a language, for example.
Sure.
So is that sort of the? But you're thinking the full extent of Comptor is you're thinking. Is that where you're thinking?
That's where we're headed.
Okay.
So we built in the past essentially 5 years. My students and I have built a prototype to sort of proof of concept here. And right now it's built around the Java doc engine.
Okay.
And so it's very specific to Java. We're using the tags.
Sure.
We're building on top of the tag structure. We're providing new tags. And that's been very successful as a proof of concept. But as we start to look into wanting to get more information out of the parsing, Java doc is basically providing some summary information about what classes and methods and parameters are present, but we can't look at the actual code from there. Mm-hmm. We're going to need more robust parsing tools.
Yep.
And so we are considering a move to Antler.
Yep.
And then that will also open the door to supporting other languages. And so that's one of the next phases we move into. Also, we've cherry-picked a lot of the low-hanging tasks of, did you comment certain parameters? Did you specify the throws tag? If that was required, you're throwing something. Do methods have comments? We do simple spelling checking. We do K-12 reading level analysis.
Cool.
We're going to probably come up with a bad word or offensive word filter or identifier, mm-hmm. Which is always a fun little bit of code. Sure. So every known bad word that I know, I can put into code.
That should be that. So I'm confident that there won't be much that gets through.
So we've taken a lot of the easy sure. things to be able to say that we can apply these things. They provide value to the student. You forgot to comment this method. This method comment is short, related to a ratio to the size of the method. You know, if the method's doing a lot and there's a lot of code, then there ought to be a good amount of common things to say about it in sure. comments. And if you just said, well, this method just does something X, you could make the argument that that's not very verbose about related to the size of the amount of tasks it's doing. We will be moving into the AI space. And I have a colleague who focuses on that more than certainly my background and I do. Mm-hmm. And so he'll be looking to start delving in that direction. And we're excited about that because those are big problems.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about it, and I have another question, but thinking about it, it's interesting because in terms of the AI, you have a very strict grammar from which you can extract meaning, in which the natural language is embedded.
Right.
So you could actually even do that, because it assumes the code is syntactically correct, but and or semantically correct. But you can extract all that structural data, and then your NL, your natural language processing is happening in that.
Right.
That's
right.
That's
where we're going to be heading.
That is so neat.
With that phase of it.
There are obvious, at least to me, interesting challenges there. In terms of this as an open project, what kind of challenges do you see? What are you thinking about? What are some of the challenges that you're wrestling with right now?
So one of the things we want to do is start building a community of stakeholders interested in the discussion of commenting pedagogy. Uh-huh. How are we teaching this in the classroom? What activities are suitable activities and resonate with the students and are successful practices and so forth and so on? So on the community building side, there's going to be some workshops and some outreach and start a listservs and things like that.
Sure.
But more importantly, we also want to make this a central location that instructors can use to point students at a number of good practices. And we would like to do some videos of practitioners, mm-hmm. academics, that talk about their experiences, why commenting code is important. From the practitioner standpoint, maybe some good anecdote stories of, hey, I opened up this code that I had to support or maintain or whatever, and this is what I found. Everybody's got stories like that
sure.
of, look what I found in here that shouldn't really be in here.
Right.
Also, I think it's important for the students to hear from companies that they know of.
Sure.
The Google, the Microsoft, the Red Hat, the open source community, the game developer community, that these are companies that a lot of kids want to go work for, the Googles and the Microsofts and the EA and so forth, and have developers from those places say, this is why it's important. This is a big part of what I do, and it's a very important corporate philosophy. At the corporate level, we have standards for commenting. I want to bring that discussion into the classroom so that, an academic telling a student, gee, it's really important for you to comment your code because I need to read it and I need to understand what you're doing, that only goes so far. If they start hearing the message that this will become an important part of their life,
sure.
no matter what they're involved in, it could really be a powerful tool.
And so from the open community's perspective, a combination of developers working on projects that the students know and can relate to. So we've
right.
got, I'm thinking of, there's the obvious big ones, things like the Mozilla Foundation.
Absolutely. And what's unique about the open source community is that, you're not just talking about everybody in my company and they all happen to be in the same building. You've got developers all around the world. And of course, commenting is very important because we're all working at different times of the day. Somebody in France is working now and tomorrow I'll be working on their code and they'll be asleep. And, So it becomes a very critical issue to document.
Becomes part of the communication.
Is part of the communication and part of the community fabric. So I think the open source community could possibly, help us get that message out. And it's a perfect community to get involved in this. I'm excited about trying to find some folks to get involved
yeah.
and help us get that message out and resonate that down to the students that are just learning to code and program.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Peter. That sounds like a
rock.
That's really cool. I mean, what's so? Just sort of my own personal comment here is what's needed is, of course, we've collaborated on many things before, and I've read some of the Comptor stuff, but I don't know. We read a lot.
Right.
And so I forgot how cool some of that stuff was.
I think we've really hit on something here that, you know, being in part of the computer science education community, we constantly see tools to help our students and so forth. But this is an area that everybody talks about, but there's really not been a heck of a lot done.
Well, it's hard.
We may have just found a very interesting niche
that
is an important niche.
Yep.
And, you know, we think there's a lot of tremendous opportunities in research areas. We're going to be looking to extend it into the WebCat grading system. We're going to try to do some plugins for things like NetBeans and Eclipse. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of places, I think, you know, we plug into the communities. We're hosting it on our own campus as an open service.
Cool.
It's a web-based thing. And, you know, if people are still, if people are interested in hearing about it, it's Comptor, C-O-M-T-O-R.
Comptor.org. I'll put a link in the blurb around the chat.
Yeah.
So. Awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The Those Who Can Teach and Do podcast series is made available under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike version 3.0 license. Support for the podcast series is made available by Mary Bitter and the rest of the Red Hat brand and marketing team. Music in the background is Invisible Walls by Revolution Void. They make their music available under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike license. My name is Matt Jaded. Thank you for listening.